Bismillah, wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala nawayna ta'allumu wa ta'alim wa nafa' wa intifa' wa tazakkar wa tazkir wa al-ifada wa al-istifada wa al-hath ala tamasib bi kitabillah wa sunnat rasulihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa du'a ila al-huda wa dalala ala al-khair ibtigha'a wa jillahi ta'ala wa mardatihi wa qurbi wa thawabihi subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have reached verse 45 of Surah Yasin, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَمِتَّقُوا مَا بَيْنِ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَمَا خَلْفَكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Yet when they are told, beware of what lies before and behind you, so that you may be given mercy. And this verse comes after the last two verses, which state وَإِنَّ شَأْنُ غِرْكُمْ فَلَا صَرِيخَ لَهُمْ وَلَا هُمْ يُنْقَذُونَ, and that we could have, if we wished, that caused them to drown, and there would be no one to help them, nor would they be saved. إِلَّا رَحْمَةٍ مِنَّا, only save out of mercy from us. وَمَتَاعٍ إِلَى حِينٍ, would they have that been able to enjoy life for a while. In other words, is that this is the way that we have to approach the means, that anything that we do by way of the means, we have to be aware when we are taking those means, is that ultimately, were it not to be for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would not be able to benefit from those means. And then Allah ta'ala says in this verse, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ, yet when it is said to them, when they are told, اِتَّقُوا مَا بَيْنِ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَمَا خَلْفُكُمْ, that beware of what lies before and behind you, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, so that you may be given mercy. So, in other words, is that these people that have turned away from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have chosen to deny them, that now that there is a different approach, it's to that tell them to beware. And Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi, that he says, وَجْهُ تَعَلُّكَ الْآيَةِ بِمَا قَبْلَهَا, the way that this verse relates to the verse that comes before it, is that after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned a number of signs, وَآيَةَ لَهُمُ الْأَرْضُ وَآيَةَ لَهُمُ اللَّيْلُ وَآيَةَ لَهُمْ أَنَّا حَمَلْنَا ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ, the earth, the night, the what Allah ta'ala that that causes them, causing them to be safe in that the ark, is that all of these are different signs. And that even though that they didn't benefit these people, they didn't that bring about the state of certainty in the existence of the Creator, that what Imam Razi is saying, now moving to a discussion of that being aware of that warning, is that as if that Allah Ta'ala is saying, فَلَا أَقَلْ مَنَنْ يَحْتَرِزُوا عَلَى الْعَذَابِ, but very least is that they should be aware that there could be consequences to what it is that they're doing. And so he says is that this is the wisdom, and now ittaqu, that we translate here as beware. It is that same, that root word that we have, it's also linguistically related to taqwa, ittaqu, but here we're translating it generally as beware. Ma bayna aydikum wa ma khalfukum, we translate it here as that which lies before and behind you. And that the ulama that differ about what that actually means. Some of them say that مَا بَيْنِ أَيْدِيكُمْ, that which lies before, method, like the events that took place to the previous nations that who denied their prophets. وَمَا خَلْفُكُمْ, and that which lies behind you, is that what's going to happen on the Day of Judgment. According to Ibn Abbas, مَا بَيْنِ أَيْدِيكُمْ, in other words, the Akhirah, the ever-approaching hereafter. In other words, is that work now towards it. And then وَمَا خَلْفُكُمْ, and what is behind you, in other words, the dunya. And that the illusory nature of the dunya, which entraps people that who are deceived by it. In other words, be aware of the fitna of this dunya, right, which is that, in that sense, that moving behind us every single day and the hereafter is approaching. Or that مَا بَيْنِ أَيْدِيكُمْ, that which lies before you, that which proceeded from your dhunub, your sins, وَمَا خَلْفُكُمْ, and that which lies behind you, that which you're going to do after. These are all things that we should be weary of, that we should beware. And so now that this is what is said to them, and that beware of what lies before and behind you. Why? لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, so that you may be given mercy. In other words, is that this is the road to mercy, is to live in a good way where you are weary of what it is that you do. You prepare now for the next world. Who is going to benefit from that? Ultimately, is that those who that do what it is they're supposed to do, they're the ones that are going to benefit. And this la'allukum, translated here, is that so that you may be given mercy, could also be translated as perhaps you may be given mercy, or perhaps you may receive mercy. And so, is that in this context, it could have the meaning of ta'lil, which is that so that you may be given mercy, that's how that's translated there, or it could have the meaning of taraji, which is that this hope that someone would receive mercy. And la'alla comes in the Quran in different places, and it has different meanings when it appears in different places. But here it could mean one of those two meanings. Either it's a that cause for them to receive mercy by having that taqwa of what is being aware of what is before us and what is behind us, or that it's out of hope that we will receive that mercy. And what we understand from this verse is that when this is said to them, is that أعرضوا, is that they turn away. And the jawab, their response to that what is being said to them, is omitted. But we understand this to be the case because of the next verse that comes. In verse 46, وَمَا تَأْتِهِ مِنْ آيَةٍ مِنْ آيَةِ رَبِّهِمْ إِلَّا كَانُوا عَنْهَا مُعْرِدِينَ. They ignore every single sign that comes to them from their Lord. So we know that this was their, when this was said to them, that they turned away. And that one of the scholars brings out an important point, which I believe that we spoke of, but it's important to reiterate, is that everything that is mentioned from various punishments happening to previous peoples as a result of what they believed or the decisions that we made, it's important that we see these as archetypes and we learn the lessons from these stories and bring it into our own life. The purpose is not to just lambast a people of the past. All of the different archetypes that we have, and that those that that were from the mustahzi'een and that ridiculed people of religion, those people that went astray that without having knowledge, those people whose that passions got the best of them after knowing what it is that they should do. All of the different archetypes that we find throughout the Quran, all the different stories that are associated with certain things happening to certain people, it's for you and I to look very carefully about our own selves and to see if there's any resemblance of that, that in that our heart or in the things that is that we do. So this is very important, because some people might wonder this. Why are all these stories there about all these people of the past? Well, that when you that do something time and time again, it's a way of emphasizing, one. But also there's different lessons that we learn in the different stories. And that this is the amazing thing about the Quran, is that it gives us that the most important stories from human history that we need so that we can bring those into our lives. And our job is to learn what it is that we need to learn, reflect deeply upon them, and apply them to our own selves. And so that when we do this, is that we will get the blessing of that the very mentioning of the story itself, which is the whole purpose, that you and I bring this into our life. So that these uqubat, if you will, or these various ways that the previous peoples were that punished, is that the greatest way for us to beware of them, to ward them off from ourselves, to protect ourselves from them, is through that iman wa amal salih, having faith and doing righteous deeds. And that making tawbah and istighfar, repentance and seeking forgiveness. This is the greatest way of all that we can ward off from ourselves any type of tribulation. Major, major tribulations and even minor tribulations. And from this perspective, is that deen is actually very easy. It's very easy. Yes, that increasingly in the age of information, there's more that we have to know, and there's obfuscations that in order to truly have clarity regarding them, that you have to spend a bit of time reading and discussing and thinking about that certain things. But in general, that the path of righteousness is easy. It's a matter of having faith and that doing righteous deeds and repenting every time you fall short. That's really a summation of it. And as long as we are doing that, is that it's likely that anything that happens to us won't be too severe, and then it will be in our own benefit. And so that there was one of the righteous, and this is a really beautiful story, that he became one of the righteous. And there was a time in his life where that he was falling short. But every time he fell short and made a mistake and even sinned, is that Allah would send him a tribulation. And then, in a sense, it comforted him, because he'd felt like Allah was looking after him. And then he would repent. And then he'd fall short again. Something else would happen. And this went on for a long period of time. And then one time he made a mistake. No tribulation came. And he panicked. Because he was used to something going wrong. There was, in a sense, a type of atonement. And that comforted him that Allah was... At this point, he felt that he'd been abandoned. And it was a cause for him to make that a sincere repentance and to never return to whatever it is that he was doing again. And so, is that when we have certain things that happen to us in a minor sense, that they are that a means of atonement, and that they're there really to wake us up. لِيَذِيقُهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا, so that he may cause them to taste some of what they've done. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, in hopes that they return. And this comes after ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أين الناس, corruptions appeared on land and in the sea from what hands have wrought. ليذيقهم, in order that he may cause them to taste some of what they've done in hopes that they return. So we should pay very close attention to what is happening around us. And if things are working out, or things are that somewhat difficult, or something just kind of all of a sudden goes wrong, that the very first thing that we should do is take stock and look internally and think about, did I do something? Is there anything that I need to work out? And if you can't figure out what it is, the best way to go about it is to make a general tawbah, is to make a general repentance for, that anything that you might not be aware of that you did. And so this is important, is that this is the way that we protect ourselves. And so what is understood is that when this was said to them, a'radu, they turned away. And that you have what is called iqbal and idbar. And those are opposites in the Arabic language. Iqbal is to go towards something, idbar is to turn away and to let go the other direction. I'rad, you could also translate as turn away, but the scholars mention it, it's to really to kind of turn to the side. So it's kind of in between these two. But here it means is that you're not really giving something intention. So like if I'm looking at Hamid, when أقبلت عليه, is that I'm focusing on him, I'm giving him my attention. If I أدبرت, I would literally turn around and be the other direction. If I أعرض, I would just kind of, he's sitting there, and I'm just kind of like turning like this towards him. I'm not really paying much attention. So that what is understood here then, as in relation to these questions of ultimate concern, as that this is the archetype of the disbeliever, is that they don't pay them much attention. Is that they just don't give them the due consideration that we should be giving them. Now, and then that there's a nice statement of Ibn Ajiba in his Ishara, in his subtle indication in relation to this verse. He says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لِلْعَامَّةِ اتَّقُوا مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيكُمْ مِنْ شَدَائِدِ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا خَلْفُكُمْ مِنْ أَحْوَالِ الْآخِرَةِ, he says that if it's said to the general people, is that beware of what is lies before you from the شَدَائِد, the difficulties of this dunya, and that what is behind you from that the terrors of the hereafter, لَعَلَكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, is that and so that you may be given mercy in both worlds. And so the idea here is that so that you receive that mercy not just in the next world, in this world and in the next world. And so what he says is that a taqwa al-kamila is that having taqwa and moving up to the higher degrees of that taqwa so that it becomes complete is that it protects a man and a woman in this life before they even pass. So there's a protection. And he says is that رَبَّمَا يَسْتَرِ الْحِفْثِ إِلَىٰ عَقَبِهِ is that that protection might even be passed on to their children or that people even beyond them. As he says, كَمَا هُوَ مُشَاهَدْ فِي عَقَبِ أَوْلِيَاءِ اللَّهِ as it is seen in the offspring of the pious, of the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, this is further incentive, is that it's not really even about you. Is that you being a certain way is also a protection for people around you, including, of course, your immediate family, your own spouse, your own children, but even your children's children, children's children, and even down. And that it's also protection for other people that are around you. And so that there's something really beautiful about this idea of taqwa in being and the process of being aware and between the idea of protection and in relation to what was mentioned as well. And then that there's also that another even more subtle meaning and that relates to what is called tadbir. And tadbir is where you plan your affairs. And that the righteous, when they speak about tadbir, and they speak about planning, they usually speak about it in its negative connotation. That causes a bit of misunderstanding, and people think, wait a second, what do you mean we're not supposed to plan? And there's two types of planning. Or you could say, is that there are two things that relate to planning. There's the process whereby which is that you have a business, you run a household, you have a job, you're on a budget, is that you go about planning that how it is that you're going to live, how it is you're going to carry out a particular task, how it is you're going to run a business or whatever it is. You develop a plan. You have a short, mid, and even long-term plan that if you're running a particular program, you have a plan on how you're going to go about doing it, that you have that a way that you kind of run and manage your house at home. All of those things are praiseworthy as long as they don't become excessive. That type of planning is praiseworthy. The other thing that relates to planning, which this is what the righteous really mean, are all of the emotions that arise before, during, and after the plans as you're carrying them out. And so the emotions of worry. Usually we worry about things in the future and we fear about things of the past. You can also, usually we fear about things in the future and we worry about things in the past, but you can also have that both emotions for both the past and the future. But the point here is that's really what they're trying to treat, is that we need to beware of the khawatir of tadbir, is that what happens that when we excessively plan and some of the emotions that arouse within ourselves, that where we start to then rely upon our plan. And so that's where it gets very subtle. You have to plan. Anyone tells you not to plan, they're not really understanding what this really means. You have to plan, but you don't rely upon your plan. And you protect yourself in the process from the emotions that in a sense negate true faith that as you plan. And so that he takes an ishara from this verse, and he says, "Ittaqu khawatir al-tadbir, fima bayna aydikum." So be wary of the thoughts of planning for that what is happening right before you. Is laysa amru biyadikum, because the affair is not really in your that hands. Fajul ma tabnihi min al-tadbir, fajulu ma tabnihi min al-tadbir. تَهْدَمُهُ رِيَاحُ التَّقْدِيرُ because the vast majority of things that you plan is that the winds of the divine decree that dismantle them or literally destroy them. فِيمَا سَلَفَ قَبْلَكُمْ إِذْ فِيهِ تَحْصِيلِ الْحَاصِ وَتَعْطِيلِ الْوَقْتِ بِلَا فَائِدَةِ in other words, he's just saying is that he's not saying that we don't plan, but he's teaching us not to rely upon our plan, taking this as a subtle indication of one of this verse's potential meanings. And so we find the balance in this process. So then we have that verse 46. Oh, sorry. Then there's the last part of that. La'allakum turhamun. That so that you may give in mercy. Here, that a higher degree of that mercy, which is to attain the station of contentment, where we are content with what Allah Ta'ala has apportioned for us, and we're content with what happens, that even when we plan, and that becomes hard because sometimes we start to plan, and we almost want things to happen, and we oftentimes do, exactly how we plan them. And again, that's kind of natural because that's the whole reason you planned, is so that it goes a certain way. But that's really the balance, is learning to plan but not rely upon your plan, and as that plan is executed, when things happen that other than the way it was planned, how do you and I respond? How do you and I respond? And it doesn't mean that we don't go back to the board and we that say, okay, we need to develop a different plan and we keep trying. But in this whole process, you'll see what happens to people. Sometimes when it's not just as they planned, all of a sudden, bad character comes in. Or that they take it out on someone. Or something happens that they shouldn't be doing. Right? Or the opposite is, oh, well, who cares? No, who care type attitude outwardly is unacceptable. If something went wrong, that with the plan, you have to go back and figure out what actually went wrong. So we put everything in its proper place. That is something that is praiseworthy. But being internally content with what happened is also key. And this is that highest meaning of receiving this mercy, is attaining that station of rida and having what's called sukun al-qalb, and having a stillness of the heart in relation to what happens from the divine decree. Now, and then he says the meaning here of a'radu, even though it's not explicitly mentioned in the verse, is that they turned away from this, is that وَنْهَمَكُوا فِي أَوْدِيَةِ الْغَفْلَةِ وَالْخَوَاطِرِ, is that they just got lost as they were immersed in the valleys of heedlessness and thoughts. Ya Allah. A good percentage of the population in this world is it in hemaku. They're just immersed and lost in the valleys of heedlessness and different types of thoughts. And they can't sift through them. And then even worse is that they have certainty is that this is what is right in this particular situation. And then even worse is that they oppose anyone else who doesn't see things exactly as they see things. And that one of the scholars used to say that the reason that the Fu'ad, which is one of the names of the heart, is called the Fu'ad because in it is Al-Fu'ad. And the Fu'ad is Al-Fu'ad. And so they're linguistically related. And the heart is 1,000 valleys. He said in every valley of the heart, of the valleys of the heart, is an additional 1,000 valleys. And then وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. And they say, when will this promise come to pass, be fulfilled, if you are truthful? وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. And so that they will then say that again, that out of استهزاء, poking fun and mocking, is it مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ, right? This promise that there is, that of resurrection, this promise of Qiyamah, is that when is this, if you are really truthful, when is this going to happen? And this is something that we see in the Quran, is that the disbelievers, is that they mock the Prophet ﷺ for not being able to tell them exactly when that the Sa'a in the day of resurrection would happen, after he, that warned them about it, ﷺ. So we see in Surah Al-A'raf, يَسَلُونَكَ عَنَ السَّعَةَ أَيَّانَ مُرْسَاهَا. They question you about the hour, when will it happen? قُلْ إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ رَبِّي. Say, knowledge thereof lies only with my Lord. لَا يُجَلِّيهَا لِوَقْتِهَا إِلَّا هُوَ. None save him shall manifest it at its proper time. So, مَتَ السَّعَةَ. When the Prophet was asked about that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, is that the one being questioned does not know any better than the questioner. Certain things that Allah Ta'ala has reserved in His knowledge, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But again, you start to see this is the type of things that happen. Is that, مَتَ هَذَا الْوَعْدِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Right? This is not a real question. They're not really asking when is the hour. They're just poking fun. And these are the tactics and the techniques and the tendencies of that these type of people. And this is obviously that something is, that is blameworthy, is that the true people that know is that how to deal with the means and how to understand the wisdom in things and how to put things in their proper place, and that this trait of poking fun and mockery is simply not a trait of the righteous. It's just simply not a trait of the righteous. And we have to be very careful that in that doing this too much, that being lighthearted is fine, that joking to a certain degree within limit is acceptable, but you have to be careful, because joking can get out of hand. And joking is one of the main things that causes that rancor in the hearts of people, because that some people take jokes better than others, and that some people, it hurts them more than others. And you'd be surprised how many people that keep things hidden within them for long periods of time, and people that think that they're just joking about that particular thing, when in that other person's eyes it's actually really serious and actually hurts them. And so this is something we have to be careful of in general, let alone in the context of disbelief. This is where it reaches that this is where it becomes its worst. So, inshallah ta'ala, we will stop there. May Allah ta'ala benefit us through these ayat mubarakat, and they give us openings in the Quran al-Kareem, and bless us in these last 10 days of Ramadan, and to give us tawfiq in all of our different affairs. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. And for those that I think there was an audio, was it on the YouTube? That we will we'll upload the video from the camera, inshallah ta'ala. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.